Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the responses of our bodies be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. About 2 months ago, my Facebook newsfeed lit up with people posting articles and opinions and arguments all about the same thing. It was finally coming. After years of talk, it was on the horizon. No, not quite the apocalypse. Not a natural disaster headed straight for the middle of Ontario. This firestorm of public thought was fueled by the province of Ontario's brand new grade 1 to 8 curriculum for health and physical education. Or more specifically, as I remember calling it, sex ed. I don't intend to belittle the concern for good education in our schools, but wow, it was fascinating to see how quickly people had a lot to say about what kids learned in schools about their developing sexuality. I wondered, with many others, I'm sure, whether some folks believe that if adults don't talk about it, kids aren't going to learn anything about sexuality, and it's safe that way. As I can tell by your laughter, we know that's not true. We all get messages about sexuality every day. Images, lessons, modeling from those we respect and those we don't. Ingrained assumptions that feed our media and our interactions as gendered human beings. Kids are gonna learn. Adults are gonna learn. And I'm going to go ahead and say that as adults, we're not always good at discerning messages about healthy and unhealthy sexuality. So we'd better be prepared to talk openly with kids and youth if we want to raise them to be discerning. And schools and families aren't the only places for these conversations. If we can't talk openly about sexuality in the church, what does that communicate? That our sexuality is separate from our faith? That God doesn't want to hear about it? That our bodies don't belong in worship and in service? Well, these next 4 weeks are about reminding us that none of those three statements is true. Our God created us, created our bodies, created us as sexual beings. And that includes each and every one of us, no matter who we are, what our relationship status is, what our history has been. This is not just a series about sex, although that's one expression of sexuality. Sexuality is bigger, much bigger than its first three letters. It's about who we are, not just the behaviors in which we engage. Sexuality is about who we are as God's children, made in the divine image, with the potential to create life. It's about the drive within us for connection with others, for community, for the need and the capacity to give and receive love. Ronald Rollheiser, a Catholic priest from Toronto, says sexuality is an all-encompassing energy within us. He writes that it is the hunger of the soul for wholeness, community, family, creativity, friendship, affection, and play. He says that sexuality is about overcoming separateness by giving life and blessing it. I will probably come back to Rollheiser in other weeks, but he sets the stage for how this series about healthy sexuality and the people of God is about all of us and all of us as we are, whatever we long for and whatever stuff we bring to it. Trust me, we all bring our stuff to the conversation about sexuality. Just the fact of how many people wished me luck on preaching this series tells me that. Or my friends in another church who have been married for 30-some years and they read the love poetry of Song of Songs as a scripture reading and looked out and realized that no one was looking them in the eyes. We've got our stuff. It might just be the awkwardness of not having a place to talk about this in public. Some will also bring pain and abuse that could make just being here very difficult. And so we remember those at various points on healing journeys. We could also bring questions or feelings of shame. We might bring wishes and longings, loss, gratitude, or temptation. But we've all got stuff that we either don't talk about or wish we could talk about or don't even have the words for. So we're in this conversation together, body and soul. Our focus for this first week is very much on our bodies. We've heard the psalmist say, "It was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." What an intimate picture of creation, of our creation, of our relationship with a loving God when we were still cells dividing and organs developing. In the psalmist's imagination, God is present in the formation of each bone and muscle and uniquely shaped appendage that takes after grandma. Our bodies are good. Very good. Our bodies are part of how we were made in God's image, able to create and celebrate life. Genesis 1 tells us that humans, male and female, are image bearers of God. The whole of our created selves reflects the glory of our divine Creator. This is good. This is so good. But we are so easily made to disbelieve the inherent goodness of our embodied, created selves. Over centuries in the church, a belief has crept along that the body is evil and the spirit is good. Even in the earliest days of Jesus' message being spread, you can see the influence of the cultural dualistic thinking about body and spirit. In some times, the body or the flesh has been talked about very negatively, and in other times, just not talked about or acknowledged much at all. And the less we talk about our bodies in church, I think, the more our bodies aren't welcome. The more they're just something to control with one's spirit and will, rather than being part of our expression of the image of God. Church history hasn't really helped our bodies, but neither has culture. How are we to believe that soft, infrequent voice saying, "Your body is good," when the rest of culture tells us, "Your body is ugly, your body is fat, your body is not the right height, your body isn't like other boys or other girls, your body needs more muscles, more hair, less hair, younger looking hair. Your body is the only one that isn't normal. It's no good." It's also possible to at one time feel fully integrated and at home in one's body, but then to suddenly experience its vulnerability or to even feel betrayed by it. The vulnerability of excruciating labor pains or the sudden diagnosis of cancer can also cause a person to feel alienated from their own body, wondering, "How is this good?" You may have awoken to a CBC story about a man who has lived his life with polio and how he felt about his body as a child. So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, they were created. Male and female, they were created. God makes good things. And God made us in bodies. God made us as bodies. And that goodness is affirmed in other parts of Scripture, not just Psalm 139. As I mentioned before, early Greek thought separated body and spirit. So imagine how early Jesus followers heard John's gospel, considering how influenced they were by their culture, in the same way that we are influenced by ours. John's listeners would have thought, yep, in the beginning was the Word, Logos, and the Word was with God, and it was God, All things came into being through the Word, sure, but then what? The Word became flesh and lived among us? No, the divine cannot be trapped in flesh. How can God act in this way? But that was one of the radical claims of the good news of Jesus, that God was incarnate, enfleshed in a body that ate and drank, slept and woke, touched and received touch. And that body, Jesus' body, also experienced terrible suffering to the point of death. And that body, Jesus' body, was resurrected, had life returned to it, so that his followers could fully understand that God was present and God was all-powerful. And God was intimately acquainted with each part of our human life and could make it new. Bodies matter to God. Being born as a crying infant, raised to be a curious adolescent, and growing to be an adult in relationship with men, women, and children all around him, all of this was the Word becoming flesh, so that we could see Jesus' glory, full of grace and truth, and fully embedded in our humanity. The fact that God made our bodies and made them good is very significant in our lives of discipleship, of following Jesus. Even though the Apostle Paul was writing within a culture that separated body and spirit, he did have ways of expressing the radical truth that the incarnation teaches us. He told the Corinthians, "Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Therefore, glorify God in your body." He believed that the body is a holy place within which God might come to dwell. Our bodies are good, and they can glorify God. In fact, Paul writes a lot more to the Corinthians about the importance of our bodies to God and how they must honor God, who was also enfleshed in humanity. In 1 Corinthians 6, there's a short quote that was probably a slogan Paul had heard from the Corinthians. "Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food." James Brownson is one author who helped me look at this text, and he points out that this little slogan demonstrated the belief of the new Corinthian Christians that bodily functions like eating and sex were basically neutral activities that Christians didn't have to care much about. It was just about the body, not about discipleship. But Paul doesn't let them keep that dichotomy between physical and spiritual. As he writes, he makes it clear that there is deep value to bodily existence. He writes of the offering of our bodies to God in worship, and he writes of the resurrection of the body to make his point. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. To say it in another way, we can't say with our bodies what we will not say with the rest of our lives. We can't do one thing with our bodies that we don't believe with our hearts or say with our words. Bodies are not indifferent. And what we do with our bodies is not indifferent. So when Paul moves the analogy from food to sex with a prostitute, he draws attention to bodies and sexuality. Bodies aren't neutral or indifferent. We communicate with our bodies. As Brownson says, we bring relationships into existence that were not there before with our bodies. Sexuality and sex is language with meaning. And as Christians, we need to ensure that this communication has integrity and that it coheres with our overall Christian calling and identity. Our bodies are good, and our bodies are powerful. They communicate, they create, they forge bonds. And this is a power that can be channeled into the lifelong calling of glorifying God. This is also a power that can be misused, or a power that can be ignored and put down and therefore left to have power over us and over others. The author Stephanie Paulsell gives an interesting reflection on whether we believe we have bodies or we are bodies. She writes, "Do we inhabit a body, or is a body who we truly are? Both views of the body have profound implications. If we believe that we are bodies, we might give greater value to the human body than if we thought it was only the shell that our true self inhabited. But we might also place the fulfillment of our bodily desires above every other consideration, or we might allow ourselves to be defined wholly by our bodies. But if we believe we simply have a body, we might resist such constraining self-definition. But we might also come to view the body as somehow distinct from who we are. And we might gradually come to see the body as a hindrance, or at the worst, something to despise." We have bodies. We are bodies. We are created by God in God's image. And it's good. It's very good. Even though it also means it's sometimes confusing. It's sometimes difficult. And it's always showing our need to be in relationship with our Creator, the one whose image we bear in our bodies and in our souls. Our bodies are good. I hope I've said that enough times in this sermon to last you for a few weeks. Our bodies are good. Our bodies bear God's image as we create and bless life, create relationships, create community, give and receive love. Our bodies are part of our creation as sexual beings. And our sexuality is an energy within us with which we can and must glorify God as we tend faithfully to the hunger within us for wholeness, community, family, creativity, friendship, affection, and play. Thank God for your body this week. Thank God that you are a body. Thank God that Jesus walked and touched and laughed and cried and got dirty and wet so that you could understand that your body matters to God. And offer over that hunger so that God would sustain you with the gifts of each day and of each relationship and of each longing. Our bodies are good. Thanks be to God.